Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listeners. This is Divya Parekh, your radio show host for tonight. And I have the pleasure of having Karen Capello as our esteemed guest today. I would have to share this story with you. Karen used to be my instructor while I was pursuing my coaching certification, and we go long ways back, and I will tell you, she is one of the instructors and one of the people in my life I absolutely love. She's amazing. She's phenomenal, and she works from her heart. So that's my introduction of her, and now just to share her bio with you, Karen is BCC, PCC, and she's a six-figure mentor coach who works with both new and seasoned coaches to increase income and create the lives that they have dreamed of. And she has coached thousands of coaches over the past 10-plus years. Karen is the former chief learning officer of ICA and a trainer for four different coach training organizations in all areas of her business and life. Karen's passion for both the outer and the inner game is very clear. It oozes out. And it's so evident that her passion and love transcends everything and seeps into the coaching. With her exuberant style and her commitment to living by her values, vision, and purpose, Karen is a role model for other coaches who want to grow their practices and profits to full potential and achieve success with ease and joy. And I can definitely say that she has been one of my role models that I look up to even today. So it's such a pleasure to have her on the show. And I'll share a little bit about myself. I am the founder of the DP Group. It's a leadership and wellness coaching. And as an author of The Voyage to Your Vision, I co-authored with several other authors, and all of our credits, the book made the international bestseller list, and I have 25 years of experience as a university associate professor, scientist, biotechnology professional, and global leadership wellness coach. After coaching people over six different continents, the conclusion that I've come to is one needs inspired confidence, the confidence from within, to live day-to-day life with joy and exuberance and have the inspiration daily so that you can sustain that confidence. Through inspired leadership and confidence programs, I help executives, professionals, coaches, and youth embrace their inner confidence and endeavor for continual enrichment to achieve desired potential and success. And without further ado, I'm going to invite Karen on the show. Karen, welcome to our show.
Hi, Divya. Thank you so much for having me here. And, you know, I do remember our connection goes way back to the days of your student days, and I really treasure those times we had together.
Oh, absolutely. That is so true. I still remember going through it and cherishing those wonderful memories. So, Karen, I will invite you to share a little bit about your personal self, a little bit about your professional self, and what is it that you stand for?
Those are big questions. I love it. Well, you know, you did a great job of introducing me. I do work with coaches, any kind of coach, business, life, executive, to support them in growing their businesses. And I use a lot of spiritual practices as well as practical actions. So that's kind of what I'm about. And I really take a stand for the fact that you can have what you want. And so many coaches are not really that well-versed in starting a business. They're great coaches, but they don't really know how to have that business, and they want that business that will give them the lifestyle that they love. So that's my stand that I take. I also know And I wrote it as the title of my book, The Clients That You're Seeking Are Seeking You. So it's a little bit of a take on the Rumi quote, you know, that what you're seeking is seeking you. But I've seen this happen so many times, Divya, so I want to just share with coaches and actually any entrepreneur that whatever you're seeking is right there in front of you. Sometimes it's hiding in plain sight.
So profound. You're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about creating the intention and sharing the intention with the universe and letting the universe do the job rather than getting caught into the quagmire of how. It's about knowing your why and what and just letting it go. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, if I could just share a story, because I think it happened to me, so I know. I really know the truth of this. When I decided to become a coach, I was actually working in estate planning, and I was working probably over 60 hours a week. And it's almost unbelievable to me now that that could have been true, but I know it was. And I was successful, but I was exhausted. And I remember at the time, one of my very good friends was getting a divorce. And I said to her, why don't you come and live with me? You can stay with me for a while and you know, I'll be your soft place to land. So she was living with me for about 3 months. And in this time, I left my job in estate planning. And I was looking to see what I was going to do for the rest of my life, basically. And one day, she had just moved out, as a matter of fact. I was talking to her on the phone, and one of my friends had said, look, you need to become a coach because you're doing this already. Why don't you just do that for your business? And so I said to her, I said, you know, I think I'm going to become a coach. And she said to me, oh, great. People have been telling me to hire a coach for a year now. And now that you're going to become a coach, I'm going to hire you today. So isn't it funny? My first client was actually living in my house. But until I said, I'm going to become a coach, she wasn't able to hire me. So I really know the truth of it. It's kind of a funny story.
Wow. No, that story definitely drives home the point that, you know, if you are not seeking the thing that you want, you're not going to focus it. And it's a great story. And one of the things that I'll share also is, so let's say if you're coming back after a long drive, you're thirsty, you have not had any stops in between. So as soon as you come home and you look around, your eyes do this experiment. Your eyes will reach out either the refrigerator or the tap in the sink. And the first thing you'll do is you'll grab a glass and get the water. So just by that token, so whatever is needed, you go for it. And as you focus it, it makes perfect sense that will appear. That's a great story. So now there are a lot of coaches who are out there who have done everything that's possible, and yet they find that they're not moving forward in their coaching practice. So as a beginning point, what is it, if you can share a few practices from your book, what could they do today?
Mm-hmm.
What steps could they take to get unstuck and move forward?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question, Divya. And here's what I've seen. I've seen that the coaches, we coaches are very inclusive. We don't want to leave anybody out. So we tend to resist having a coaching niche. We want to just coach everyone. We want to just talk to everyone. And what happens is we don't choose a niche. So a coach would not choose a niche, and they'll go out and they'll put a lot of quotes out on social media. They'll get their website all done. They'll spend thousands of dollars on their website. They'll do all of these other things. And it's kind of like it's like the house that's built on a shakier foundation. Until you get that niche, until you get that really strong foundation, I would say don't do anything. And I would say spend some time on it. So I like to say, I don't think that we find our niche. I think our niche finds us. It's a different feeling. I think we receive our niche. So it's that kind of thing like your niche is hiding in plain sight. Your niche is right out there. Usually it's people that are right in front of you every day. But until you decide, okay, I'm going to make a commitment to this group of people that have this particular problem, it the energy can dissipate. So the one thing I would say to coaches immediately, if you're not getting traction, look back at the niche and make sure that your niche is tight. Make sure that your niche is narrowed. And, you know, we resist this, Divya. We don't like to narrow. We like to expand as coaches, you know. We don't like this. So it's counterintuitive and it's tough to do. But I'll give you an example. Let's just say that, every coach, by the way, would love to coach on, you know, empowering people to be more of themselves, right? I mean, we all know how to do this. And so I see these beautiful websites, you know, self-empowerment. And then I see, you know, the general public is going, well, what's that? You know, like, it's just, it doesn't sell. Self-empowerment. And even things like confidence, they're harder. Now, if you're in a certain group that needs that confidence a lot, you may be able to do it. But some of these more quality type of niches, they're good for the Carolyn Mace and Wayne Dyer and Abraham Hicks of the world, because these people are already established. But a coach that's just getting established, pick a challenge that somebody has had that you know something about. So, for instance, you know, there's, like, just say somebody was pregnant and they got rid of their pregnancy weight. It's just a great example of a niche. You could do a general weight loss niche, and that would be good. But what about losing weight after pregnancy, especially if you've done it? And something coaches get worried about is, oh, my gosh, do I have a degree? Do I have a certificate? Do I have this and that? And I will tell you that if you go out there and say, look, I got rid of the baby weight within so many months, and I don't even know what that is, I can help you do it. No one is going to ask you if you have a degree in coaching or a certificate. They're going to say, great, help me. So pick something. Pick a niche that you have experience in, that you know something about, and that you can really help people with. And I think that's one of the biggest... Excuse me. Hang on a sec. I had a little frog in my throat.
Oh, please get a cup of water.
I just had a sip of water. So I think that's one of the biggest problems or challenges, shall we say, is really going deep into the niche before you do anything else. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. I agree. Especially in today's day and age, let's take an example of the doctors. So, for example, even for the doctors, you know, if something deeper happens, we look for the cardiologist. And then if it's a stent issue, then it's somebody who does the angioplasty and who is doing the angioplasty day in and day out. They are experienced with the procedure, and that's what people are looking for. And the same thing, so, for example, when I say, that what is my niche? Yes, I say it's confidence. However, it's focused for women who are looking for transitioning out, and they cannot make that transition, whether it's in the career or whether it's from career to start being an entrepreneur. However, it's centered that because you're absolutely right. People are not going to go for degrees. It's about what you have achieved in your life. Can you share the story? Have you done it successfully?
Mm-hmm.
And as you mentioned, Karen, that you transitioned out from estate to the business, I did the same thing. I transitioned from the corporate world to the coaching world, being an entrepreneur, we have lived it, we have seen it, we have done it. It's about walking the talk. And having a niche absolutely makes complete sense. So the next question comes up is, we should definitely have a niche. Now, how do we go about narrowing that niche and coming down to a very fine laser-focused segment of people that we can serve?
Well, you know, it's funny, Divya. I mean, if there are any listeners that want to go through an entire process of this, I actually have a free program, completely free, and it's downloadable, and it's at receiveyourniche.com. So if you want to go there, they get there. This will take you a while, you know, and you can go through all the different things to look at your niche from different areas. But I'll give you a really simple way of doing this. So a really simple way of doing it is kind of what you just said. Take your own transformational story, whatever that is, and apply it to others. So like you were saying, this thing about confidence, I would actually say to you that confidence is not your niche. It's your greatest tool, and it's what you teach people. But the niche for you is women who want to make a transition out of corporate. I mean, that's kind of what I heard. And so that really makes sense. You made the transition out of corporate. Help people make that transition. When I started my business, when I started coaching, I took a coach training program that was different than the one that we were in together. It was a week long. And so I did that week long, and then I went home and I started coaching people immediately. And all of my other people around me, they were getting their websites done. They were figuring this all out, and I was just coaching. And about 9 months later, one of my colleagues asked me, can you help us to get going? Because I had like 250 hours of coaching. And I said, sure. I was really happy to do that. So I like to say I kind of received my niche by getting going really quickly as a coach, and then I could help others get going as quickly as I had. And in those days, I really didn't have a niche that I had chose. I really received it. I really let my niche find me because I was working with a lot of people who were in business with me. It takes an accountant, a lawyer, and a financial planner to create an estate plan. So I had all these people around me who wanted to produce, and I was easily able to help them. So that's my transformational story, and I help coaches now. And I've been doing this for many years. Your transformational story, you're helping women in transition. You know, there are people who have done so many things, like mothers, you know, like we know a lot of parent coaches who really have parented well, and they've learned some things, and they want to share some things with parents. You know, and boy, talk about a niche, parent coaching. You could have parents of teenagers. You could have new moms. I mean, you could really micro-niche this stuff down. And when you do, you become an expert. So that's the simplest way I know, is just look at your transformational story. And if you want to go through kind of some processes about this, go to www.receiveyourniche.com and download the handouts and all of that. And, you know, for anyone who's listening, it is free. You will get on my mailing list. So if you want to download it and just unsubscribe, you're welcome to do that. And if you want to download it and stay for a while, I've got some other good stuff up my sleeve that I can share too.
Oh, I would definitely recommend people to stay on the list because Karen shares great content and she shares it with her heart. And you can learn a lot from it, whether you're a coach or whether you're an entrepreneur. So thank you for sharing that. So what I would say is I have actually a coach friend who has been going through figuring out her niche and just kind of stuck. So if you're open, I can bring her case story and we can kind of walk through it, just a general overview to our audience, and we'll get a taste of how the process works.
Yeah, let's do it.
So one of my coach friends is a business coach. She has had a lot of business experience. And so what she does is she goes and helps out each and every business. However, she's not able to focus on just one client. Now, it could be a real estate agent. It could be a homeowner. It could be a small business owner. It could be a conglomerate. It could be a mid-size, small-size business. And what she's finding is she is getting overwhelmed because with every business owner, she has to put in so much work that the hours she's spending is just cutting into her time, and that she cannot go ahead and charge them, say that, hey, I'm spending 50 hours on you, now I'm going to quadruple the price. So she cannot do that. And what's happening is because she does not have the niche down, she is almost spinning her wheels. So let's say if we have her case, how would we go about narrowing it down?
Well, tell me this. What did she do before she became a coach? What was her profession?
She was a real estate agent.
She was. Okay. So here's something that happens, Divya, that I've seen. Whatever somebody was before they became a coach, sometimes they get really burned out on their past profession. And because they're so burned out, they can't even think about continuing on with that profession and those people. So one of the things she could do is she could just work with real estate agents. And if she did, she would have more credibility because she was a real estate agent, but she would also be able to develop programs only for real estate agents, and so she could bring that program to different real estate offices and agents. And she would only have to create one thing, and she could share it in many different places. Instead of, if she's working with all these businesses, she's got to create a different program for each different type of business that she does. And that takes a lot of work.
Does. And she has found that, you know, once she has done it, and when another client comes in that area, she is able to do it very fast. And we were sitting down and we met for a coffee, and she said, oh, you know, Divya, we were just brainstorming about our different businesses, how we are doing, what we are going about it. And she was like, I do not like real estate. And you hit the nail on the head that she's so burnt out. Mm-hmm. However, now she will be going into that business with a different mindset.
Yes.
So that's a great suggestion, and I'm going to forward the link to her so she can listen on to our conversation. However, what's stopping her is that she does not want to go back to real estate. And how can she go about it? What can she do to figure out what's holding her back? What is it that's stopping her? Because it's always about ourselves. It's not about the other person.
Right. You know, and that, I guess, is the answer. I think if she were to work with a coach on changing her perspective, because she really isn't going back into real estate, she's actually going back to help people where she was. So it's a whole different way that she's going back. She's going back with a new set of tools. You know, coaching is a great set of tools, and it can change things. And, I was in, before I was in estate planning, I was actually president of a semiconductor manufacturing company, which was, some people wouldn't know that about me, because it happened a while ago, but I was, and I was a great supervisor. My people loved me, but I was exhausted because I had all the people on one side. I wanted my employees to be really happy, but I also wanted my customers to be happy, and I was juggling everybody. So what happened when I left was, after I said, I will never supervise people again. It's too hard on me. But when I learned the coaching skills, then I was able to supervise people again. Then I was able to say, hey, I could do this, because I knew what to do. Coaching can really give her a different perspective on helping the people that are still in real estate. She does not have to be in real estate, but she can help them, train them, teach them, use all of her coaching skills and create products and programs for them, so that if she had them when she was in real estate, it would have been easier for her. So I would say that, you know, that would be a great thing for her to do, is to coach with someone and see if she can shift her mindset a little bit. Because actually, doing real estate coaching, if she's had experience in it, would probably be the quickest and easiest niche. Now, if she doesn't want that niche and she's got too much resistance, then we need to look at what other transformational experiences has she had in her life, and how could she sell those in an easier manner.
Oh, I love this idea about what were the problems she had when she was a real estate agent, and going and helping the other real estate agents to overcome those challenges. I think that this will definitely appeal to her, because she is such a warm, caring person who wants to make a difference, who wants to help people. And then she will listen on to this conversation. I think so she's going to have the light bulb go off and have that aha moment. I can definitely see her just looking at it from the flip side of the coin. And that's the beauty of narrowing down the niche, seeing what have you done already, how can you transfer your skills. It's not about starting from the beginning.
Definitely. And you know, Divya, she might be a good person. In the month of the end of March and early April, I know we're airing this interview live, I'm doing a live program called FillYourCoachingPracticeWithEase.com. And she might want to take a look at that. There is a cost for it, but it's going to be an amazing program. We've already got, you know, a ton of people that are registered, and we're starting the end of March. And it we're going to take everybody through all of these steps, and the niche is the first one. And that is, I would say, because it, you know, comes first, because it is important. And if she wants to try a different niche, we can take that niche, whatever that is, and take it through the five steps that will help her to build her practice. And then if she decides she wants to stay with that niche, she can. If she decides she wants to do something else, she'll know the process, so she can take another niche through that process.
Oh, great. Now I'm definitely going to share it with her. And listeners, if you are looking to hone in your niche, I have had the pleasure to see Karen's program about finding your niche, and that is an amazing program. It will really help you hone in your interest and how you can help resolve the problem of people who are just waiting out there, waiting for your experience. And wow, our half an hour has just flown by, and I'm going to share. Oh gosh, great. I've been learning so much, as always, from you, Karen. And we will be sharing some of our upcoming shows. So please join us on 3/12, which is this Thursday, for Being Yourself, Unveiling Your Mask in the Workplace. The show will be hosted by Debra Mathis, and she's going to have co-host Michelle Smalls, and I have the pleasure of joining Debra. She is an excellent radio host. Learn a lot from her. And the other upcoming shows are it is on 3:15 at 9 p.m. Mark My Words with Certified Life and Business Coach Marshall. And another one is on 3:16 at 9 p.m. So you have found your passion. Now what? With Charissa Sebastian. All of these are great show hosts. So please join them. And another one that I'll share is that's going to air on 3/23/2015 at 8 p.m. Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jen and Rebecca Live. Again, the show on 12th of March is at 8 p.m. And looking forward to seeing you on the show. So, wow, we have talked about how we can find a niche. So now, let's say people are open to sharing where they're going. Now they are open to finding the niche. They have found their niche. How does one take the coaching practice to the next level? And am I right, Karen, that you have captured this in your book?
Well, in my book and in my program. So the next step that I would say in taking to the next level would be to take your niche and develop a signature program. So just a series of steps that you would take your clients through that you could talk about. Let's go back to the woman who was working with the pregnant women to lose their baby, their weight after they had the baby. She could take a few steps like, an assessment of where they are now, planning, creating a plan for them and as to how they would lose the weight, and then maybe another step of implementing the plan to losing the weight and maybe tweaking the plan. So maybe there are a few steps there. So that would be that signature program. So that would be kind of the next step to take. And then after that, I would say, to create some type of an offer, a taster, some type of like an ebook or something for free that where she could support these people and they could get kind of a taste of her. So that free offer that she wants to share. So to create that in conjunction with the program. So when people get that free offer, maybe the free offer is, is a series of testimonials of people who have gone through this program and really lost it. And maybe it's a series of tips that they have. And people could see, wow, this really works and there's some tips here. I want to hire this person. So in addition to the signature program, having kind of that free offer that moves, past that. And then also to create other programs such as trainings or group coaching or other kind of things and package those together and price those in a way that people will really want to buy them. And then the last step, I think, is to have these enrollment conversations and talk to people about the program and, see what they want and what they need.
Wow, great points. You're definitely right. It's about the signature stamp. What makes you stand apart? What are the benefits that you're providing? Because what is the pain that you're resolving for your clients? And if that's very clear, anyone who's going to take a look at the signature program is going to say, as you mentioned, that, share the freebies, share the gift with them so they get the taste of what does the program look like. And once they see that it has helped them, they are definitely going to come and say, this is the coach I want to hire and change my life.
Definitely.
So we have talked about the business side of coaching. How can coaches, and as you so beautifully said that, you know, as coaches, we love to expand, we love to help people, and in the same vein, we also love to put ourselves in such a place that where we stretch ourselves thin. And when you're doing that, what happens is you may end up helping somebody for a very low cost, or you may end up helping people for free. Now, when this is happening, you will get stretched thin, and then you're not being yourself. You are not looking after yourself. So how can the coaches discover that perfect blend of being and doing for yourself and yet at the same time serving their ideal clients?
Yeah, so there's a couple questions in there that you've asked here, Divya. One is kind of that self-care piece about how can I take care of myself and also my clients. And the other part is, how do I price things properly so that people are going to buy them, but I'm taken care of? And I think sometimes as coaches, we're afraid to put our pricing at a place that is high enough to take care of ourselves, because we don't really understand the value of what we're giving. And, you know, I think there is a huge value in coaching, and it can actually be financially figured out. So, for instance, you know, we were talking earlier about that pregnancy weight, and I'm not exactly sure in terms of that particular weight loss, but I do know that if somebody has, like, you know, is carrying extra weight, if they have one hospitalization, just one, the average hospitalization in the U.S. in 2011, I looked this up, was $10,000, the average hospital stay, the cost. So if you were to coach someone for $5,000, and help them with any health issue at all, that would be a great return on investment, because you probably save them at least one hospital stay, if not more. My father had some cardiac problems, and when I think of how many hospital stays he had within about a 20-year period, it must have been about, I don't know, a dozen. Things start to add up. So if you think of that, or like for me with business coaching, I always, with my VIP clients, I will ask them, you know, if you can't see yourself making an extra $5,000 in the next 6 months with my help, then it doesn't really make sense for you to hire me. Now, if you can see yourself getting one or two extra clients and we can really work this out properly, it makes sense. So in a lot of ways, I think that if we look at the value, that will help with the pricing, and that will make a big, big difference. Now, also with self-care, you know, I'm a big person with self-care. I'm sure that's why you asked me this question. There are certain things that are important to everyone, but they have different priorities. So for me, sleep is huge. If I don't get my sleep, I'm very cranky. I don't do well. If I get the proper amount of sleep, I'm really happy. I mean, I could go without breakfast and I'd be okay, but if I went without sleep, I wouldn't. For other people, it might be the right nutrition. It could be hydration. All of these things, you know, it could be like no drama in the background of your life. All kinds of things can impact self-care. And if each of us know what is the most important thing about our self-care, then we can do it, and we can make sure that we're going to be okay, and we can be there for our clients. Like, I would like to ask you, Divya, do you know what's important about your own self-care? I'm sure you do.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely, I learned it the hard way. I did not take care initially, and I saw the fruits of it, because as there is a physics law, right, there's everything has a cause and effect. And there is an equal and opposite reaction to every action. So same thing applies to the self-care as well. If you do not respect your body will let you know. And having learned my lesson, I've definitely found to put regime in place. If I have to even have the whole day, fine. If I can go for a 40-minute walk, I'll make sure that I find that 20-minute walk, look at the beautiful blue skies, connect with the nature, re-energize and recharge myself, and then be ready for the next thing.
Yeah, so and you know what's important.
Yes, and I think so. Every one of us knows that. We just tend to ignore it.
Yeah, what's that about?
Excuses, right?
Yeah.
Or lacking self-awareness.
I think we don't understand. We don't understand how important it is, maybe.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I have found is it's sometimes just lack of self-awareness. We think, oh, you know what, I'll be able to pull it through. It's the nurturing instinct in us, which we extend to everyone else except for ourselves. And that goes back to what you said, that we do not see the value of ourselves in the practice also. So when we do not see the value that we are offering, it gets reflected in different areas of life. And that was the reason I brought up self-care as well, along with the practice, that why is it that we're not able to charge? So it's the same thing, seeing what value your health brings to you, what value you are bringing to people. And once we know that, as you mentioned, right, that you said to your $5,000 client, if you're not seeing yourself making that much money in 6 months, then what's the point of coaching?
Exactly. And, you know, here's the thing. Some people will make it and some people won't, but they need to at least have that vision going in. If they have that vision going in, then it is possible. And that's what the way I think about it, that I can work with them. Now, here's another thing about cost with coaches. It depends on your motivation. It depends on the reason that you're doing a program. So, for instance, if you're doing a VIP program and it's one-on-one and it's very labor-intensive, you know, really work with your client. I have my clients text me or whatever they need. So that kind of work deserves a higher fee. Now, recently, I have just put out a course, a five-week course, and I have three different rates. The early adopter, which is good for it wasn't even good for 48 hours, you know, was $97 for a five-week course. And somebody wrote to me and said, is this $970? Is this a typo? And I said, no, it's not a typo. If I want to make sure that if there's somebody that really needs to get into this course and they don't have the money to do it, they can just get in and they don't even have to worry about it. Now, the price goes up then. The next, it doubles, you know, the next one, and it almost doubles again by the time the course gets there. So there's an early adopter, an early bird, and there's a regular registration. And, you know, I'm happy with whoever comes and whatever they're paying, because the other thing about this course is I'm going to give the course, and then I'm going to package it as an information product. So I'll be able to sell this information product forever. So to me, I don't need to have a lot of people investing in the course, you know, right away, because I look at the lifetime of value to this. And for me, it will take me 5 hours of delivery Nah, maybe 10 at the most, because probably not 10, but maybe some of the courses will go a little longer. And then I'll also have time pulling things together. But I have a lot of this in different places, and I've actually wanted to pull this together. So it depends on what your motivation is for doing something. If you're looking to, and the other thing, Divya, about this course for me is I wanted to bring in people who might have never worked with me before, and I want to make it really easy for them to get a taste of what it was like for me. So that worked out for me. Now, if I was at a different place and I really needed to make that money in that course in a shorter term and not the longer term, then I would have charged more to start out, because that would have been important to me. So really got to look at what your motivation is, what your goal is for the course or for your coaching. The other thing I want to say about self-care and money is, you might have heard this saying, what gets measured gets done. And mm-hmm. So I have my clients measuring things, you know, and measuring conversations that they're having, because coaching is sold through enrollment conversations. I have them measuring the time they're putting in, so they really understand what they're doing. I have them measure the amount of money that's coming in every week. So what gets measured gets done, and what we focus on expands. So if we start focusing on the income coming in, it's going to expand. So that's another little tip for taking care of yourself, is watching those numbers.
Oh, I love that, you know, focus on the income that's coming in. Mm-hmm. And also you shared the business model, that what is the motivator? And what is motivating you in that point in time? And that does not mean that becomes your price. It's about the flexibility. You are allowing people to see what you are offering and then seeing the value in the long term, that, you know, you're able to create the information product. And also what it shows that what I am seeing is that you are showing your commitment to these clients, that, hey, if you cannot take this program later on, that if the money is a stopping point for you, if money is the obstacle, then here I'm giving you the chance. Now, if you're not even willing to take that chance, then you know that, you know, these people are not committed. You want people who are committed, because unless you make the commitment and do it yourself, you'll not be able to move that needle.
Yeah, and you know, Divya, it really humbled me, because I haven't offered anything at this price for a whole long time. And I got I really got the inspiration for doing it in my spiritual space, and that's another thing we haven't really talked about, but I received guidance on what's right, and I received guidance that I should do this for like the first less than 48 hours. And I've already found a few people have written me and said, you know what, I'm on a fixed income, I'm helping out, you know, my kids, my grandkids and all this. And they said, this, you have made this me able to take this course. And I know that, honestly, I know the course is going to be worth it. This course could be worth $1,000. The way I'm going to do it, it's just a fantastic course. And yet, I'm very happy to give it to these people, because they are looking for something that can really support them. And even if they're not ready right now, they'll get all the audios, they'll get all the transcripts, they'll get all of the worksheets, and maybe they'll have them so that when they're ready, they can do this. And it just makes me really happy to be able to support everyone.
Oh, that's a great point. So, Karen, you mentioned spiritual space. Can you share that with us, how the spiritual space has an integral part in your personal life as well as in your business life?
Yeah, actually it works for both, really. For my, I like to do a lot of different things for my spiritual space. So I get into like little times for things. So I'll do some, you know, sometimes I'll do some hypnosis. Sometimes I'll do some visualization. Sometimes I'll do, I love to listen to Abraham Hicks. I will do the healing codes, all kinds of things that I have as tools in my toolbox. And then whatever really is resonating with me that day, I will do it. And I'll use that quiet space. First, I'll do a clearing, whatever that is, and then I'll use that quiet space to receive information. So if it's a personal issue, like maybe there's something, you know, a trip I want to go on or something I want to do and I'm not quite 100% sure, I'll bring it to that guidance. And that guidance will give me, I will get guidance for that. I remember one time I was concerned about a friend of mine, and I wasn't sure if I should reach out or if I shouldn't, you know, because sometimes it's better to reach out, and sometimes it's better to give people space. And so I would take that question to my spiritual space for my business, you know, like this one, as I was launching this, I took that question to my spiritual space. When I have a virtual assistants, and I want to know what I should give to who and how I should structure things, I take it to that space of quiet and I receive whatever it is that is meant for me to receive.
Could you share one practice that our listeners could take it today and start using it?
Yeah, there's a very simple practice that I use. Most coaches will know at least their top one, two, or three values. So let's just say if you know your top value, and mine is actually love. So if you know your top value, then if you need to make a decision, here's a tip. If you need to make any sort of decision that you're not 100% clear on, see if that decision aligns with your top value or not. Now, chances are if you're not 100% clear on it, it probably doesn't align, because if you're clear on it, if you have to make a decision and it aligns with your value, it'll be easy to make. But let's just say it doesn't. The tip is to think about, how could I align this more with my value? So for me, it's, how could I align this more with love? Or my second value is freedom. And that one will get me in trouble, Divya, because when I look at doing something and I feel like I'm not free, it boxes me in and I get kind of this awful feeling. And so what I have to ask myself is, if I still want to go forward with this, how can I create more freedom as I do this? And if I can figure out ways of creating more freedom, then I will be able to do it, and I'll be able to do it, you know, wholeheartedly, happily, and all of that.
Great tip. And if somebody were to meditate for clearing out these decisions and something that's stopping that, do you have any quick meditation that you could share with our clients? Maybe they are in corporate life, or maybe they're sitting down, they're getting ready to go with their client, and they need the money, but they need to clear up their mind. Rather than thinking, oh, I hope so that client signs me up, or they are having a fight anywhere. So something that centers you really quickly.
Well, you know, there is a meditation that I use, and I it's pretty simple. It's actually the Violet Flame meditation. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but it's attributed to Saint Germain, and we can do it right now because it's pretty simple. So if you'll close your eyes, everyone who's listening, just close your eyes, and picture yourself surrounded by a purple flame. So above you, below you, you're kind of in like engulfed and surrounded by this purple flame, and it feels warm. It's not too hot or anything like that. It just feels warm and safe and beautiful. And then if you picture that anything within your body, your aura, your cells, that any energy that is non-beneficial to you, just picture that flame melting it off. And so as the energy melts off, it just, you know, goes right down to the center of the earth to be recycled. So just let all the non-beneficial energy, anything you've picked up that really isn't right for you, in your cells, in your body, in the space around you, to just be melted off from that violet flame. And now picture above your head a big gold sun. And in that sun is your particular essence energy. It's the energy that is most beneficial to you. And so as you picture that gold sun above your head, just allow that gold sun to shower the light within your cells, your body, the surrounding space of you, of what wherever something has been melted off, just fill it with that beneficial light. Just feel that lightness and let it just fill you up. And so that's one of my, that's a super easy meditation because it melts off anything that's non-beneficial, any energy, and it brings in your most beneficial energy.
Yeah, no, that was great.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much, Karen.
You're welcome.
For sharing this great information with us. It's been such an honor to have you on the show. So as a final takeaway, what would be one tip that you would share with our clients? And if our clients want to reach you, and if our coaches and listeners want to reach out to you, what's the best way of reaching you?
Yes, so one tip I would share is well, actually, there is a great audio on my website, and it's right at the top of the page of fillyourcoachingpracticewithease.com, and it's 3 steps to filling your coaching practice. It's about an hour, a little over an hour long. I think you'll love it. It has a visualization at the end. So the one tip I could give you is go there and listen to it. It's really it will give you so much more than I could ever give you right now. And that's fillyourcoachingpracticewithease.com. And if you want to reach me, I'm at karencapello.com, 2 P's and 2 L's, but I do have the misspelling of my name for the website too, so you'll find me either way. And if you want to get directly in contact with me, you can just send me an email, karen@karencapello.com. And I respond to every email I get. I don't care, you know, I mean, I suppose if I had, you know, celebrity status, but I still like to respond to every single email. So I will respond to you for sure.
Oh, that is wonderful. And I can vouch for that. Karen does get back to you, and I would definitely reach out to her website and listen to it for yourself. Great tip. You've shared another hour-packed, information-packed resource with our listeners. So thank you again, Karen. Greatly appreciated having you on the show.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me, Divya. This has been a lot of fun having this conversation with you.
Oh, yes, I don't know where the hour just flew by. And listeners, thank you again for joining us. And thank you for listening in. And I hope you have enjoyed the show. And anybody can download from www. Blog Talk Radio and just Google up. The clients you're seeking are also seeking you. And also, if you would like to reach me, you can contact me at contact@diviaparekh.com. Also, feel free to go to the website www.diviaparekh.com. And there are lots of free resources, a free white paper that will help you envision your vision and narrow it down and set the goals. Because as Karen mentioned, what's not measured you cannot achieve it. So again, thank you, listeners. And until next time, this is your host, Divya Parekh, and we'll be seeing you in our next show. Thank you for joining us. Take care. Bye-bye.